some time now, measured in years, I have wanted to focus on sins which inflict believers as they strive to serve Yahweh. These are not intentional sins, calculated to enrich the server. They are behaviors and actions born out of a desire to serve and draw closer to Him. However, in a deeper understanding, these sins are rooted in deep-seated desires to please others or to gain recognition, to be accepted by fellows, or for other subconscious goals based on lies implanted by the adversary. This week's message focuses on the sin of Martha. If anyone listening to this message today, either in our new and beautiful sanctuary or over the internet waves, find this message resonates with them, please take the message to heart, not seeking to attack the messenger, but to engage in deep self-reflection to determine if there is ownership of the sin of Martha, and to seek ways of maintaining the deep desire to serve while acting in ways which honor Yahweh. Abba B'Shamayim, Father in Heaven, each one of us today carries sins within our human selves, which are masked by our deep desire to serve You. Often these sins manifest themselves in righteous behaviors, but are based on goals of self. I pray for open minds and hearts this day, allowing Your message to percolate into our second mind and into our prayers each day. B'Shem Yeshua Moshichenu, in the name of our Messiah, Jesus. Well, let's begin by examining the sin of Martha, one of Adonai Yeshua's most ardent servants. First, a look at Scripture which illustrates her actions. We find this in Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. On their way, Yeshua and his Talmudim came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Miriam, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard what he had to say. But Martha was busy with all the work to be done. So going up to him, she said, "Sir, don't you care that my sister has been leaving me to do all the work by myself?" However, Adonai Yeshua answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are fretting and worrying about so many things. But there is only one thing that is essential. Miriam has chosen the right thing, and it won't be taken away from her." Just what was Martha's sin? Listen again to the words of Messiah. "Martha, Martha, you are fretting and worrying about so many things." At this point, I want to make the point very clear. Martha was not a sinful person. True, she had a human nature, and this contained some goals and desires which were self-serving, and of which Martha was not necessarily consciously aware. Clearly, she was a devoted believer and follower of our Moshiach, our Messiah. She consciously desired to please him and did what she thought was best. Why then did Adonai Yeshua say to her with compassion, "Martha, Martha, you are fretting and worrying about so many things"? There are two areas in Martha's behavior which Adonai Yeshua viewed as being sinful. The many things she was doing were needless or not significantly needful at the time, and what she was doing was taking her away from what was really important at the time, rather than drawing herself closer to him. You may recall Adonai Yeshua's words to Martha, "Miriam has chosen the right thing, and it won't be taken away from her." Martha's sin was overcaring about the table for entertainment and undercaring about her spiritual growth. Unfortunately, she demonstrated she did not have the desire to sacrifice her own heart's desire to sit at the feet of Messiah and be discipled by him. Hers was an overvaluing of the lesser activity, entertaining Adonai Yeshua, and an undervaluing of the greater activity, learning from him. And here is where we hear of the extenuations to rationalize and support her sin. The work Martha was doing was necessary but not essential. This may be so, but the work could have waited a few minutes or even hours in order for both Mary and Martha to derive joy and growth through Adonai Yeshua's teaching. What do we have in Scripture which will help us understand the dangers of busyness? First, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 tells us, "For everything there is a season, a right time for every intention under heaven." Adonai Yeshua was the Messiah, and thus deserved the best of the work Martha could provide for him. Unfortunately, Martha either forgot or had not yet heard Adonai Yeshua's advice given to his disciples, recorded in Matthew 6, verse 33. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." What we don't know is whether Martha was his official housekeeper, to whom these and other duties belonged, or if she was doing this from her devoted love for her Messiah. My question is, if Adonai Yeshua knew her intention from the beginning, which he obviously did, would he have permitted Martha from doing for him rather than learning from him and just spending time in his presence? Would he have stopped Martha from doing for him rather than learning from him and just spending time in his presence? This same question may be asked of us today. Would Adonai Yeshua prefer us to be in his presence in prayer, either praise or worship, or would he want us to be running around doing things when others are in prayer? Unfortunately, Martha compounded her sin by blaming her sister Mary for leaving her with all the work to do, as we read in the 40th verse of Luke 10. "Sir, don't you care that my sister has been leaving me to do all the work by myself?" Taking this position suggests spirit of jealousy and anger were also at play. If this was the case, then the work being done was not through pure love. Just what does Martha's sin mean to us today? First, we live in one of the richest countries of the world, one in which temptations for our time, efforts, and love are infinitely greater than they were in Martha's day. I pose the following for you to ponder. Would Adonai Yeshua have allowed his life to be bound to the vanities and excesses to which many of our lives are bound today? We gain some insight into this situation as we read from Luke 12. Setting the stage, a member of a crowd to whom Adonai was teaching had just posed the question, "Rabbi, tell my brother to share with me the property he inherited," as we find in Luke 12, verse 13, to which Adonai Yeshua responded with the parable of the hoarder. "You're a lucky man. You have a big supply of goods laid up that will last many years. Start taking it easy. Eat, drink, enjoy yourself." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night you will die, and the things you prepared, whose will they be?" That's how it is with anyone who stores up wealth for himself without being rich toward God. Here then is the critical question for us in our modern age. Do we desire to create a store of tangible reminders of our efforts, or would we rather trust in Hashem to prepare for us until we enter his kingdom? One thing is quite obvious. The excuses we have for being so busy, we forget to spend time with him, even when his spirit is here with us, are not as valid as they were in Martha's day, as he was right there with her. What excuse could we properly have? "But," you say, "I am working for his glory, not for my own. I am toiling to find favor with him, not with my fellow man." Oh, how the adversary loves that line. And once he hears it, he will exploit it for all he's worth. "Yes," he will say in our ears, "you need to do more for him, for he is wonderful, and you need to show him much more of the love you have for him by doing more for him." This crafty fox will do anything he can to draw us away from spending quiet time sitting at his feet, reading His Word, and just focusing our thoughts on what He has taught us. Many a believer has been drawn away from his or her faith by believing they could never do enough and become burned out from never feeling they have done enough, and therefore throw it all away because they believe they can never be good enough. Notice the progression from believing to feeling to being, all in the realm of doing enough to please Him. Doing enough. What a legalistic condemnation. As Kenneth Boa, president of Trinity House Publishers, writes, "Blowing and going, plotting and planning, ducking and diving, running and gunning, slamming and jamming, moving and shaking, shucking and jiving are the indicators of the secular world's gods of progress and achievement, and are the idols the adversary uses to seduce the world into focusing on what may be gained through doing rather than through being."
In the strength of my Lord.
Before I go any further, lest you develop the perception Martha was a bad person, let me assure you she was beloved of Adonai Yeshua. She was a true and committed believer, one who had dedicated her life to serving her Moshiach. Adonai Yeshua's reproach of her busyness was gentle and loving. Martha, Martha, you are fretting and worrying about so many things. Yet it was a rebuke, and every rebuke must be followed by a teaching, no matter how it is received. But how does the sin of Martha apply to us today? Anne Spangler, the co-author of Sitting at the Feet of Rabbi Jesus, advises us in our busy world, pray for the grace to realize that no matter where you are in the presence of Adonai Yeshua. Whatever we do, wherever we are in his presence. What does this mean to us? To me, I know I am in his presence when I craft his message, when I write a blog for CPM Canada, when I draft the budget for Kehila, when I am counseling believers and non-believers alike. He is always here with me. Am I always there with him? That is the question. Am I always there with him? I would like to think I am, but I know I'm not. I know there are times I need to be on my knees before him, asking for his forgiveness for some transgression or praising his Shem Kadosh, his holy name, for the idea he has planted in my mind. Lately, Chantal and I have been occupied in the search for accommodations in Quebec. I can share with you the angst I have felt in looking at hundreds of potential places to live and feeling overwhelmed by the magnitude of our search. After researching through the internet for a good 3 weeks, we were ready to compromise and settle for less than we wanted. And yet, I forgot the key element of our search. Desist and learn that I am Elohim, supreme over the nations, supreme over the earth, as we read in Psalm 46, verse 10. He promised us a place to live. What was I doing driving myself into depression, worrying about our finding a place? Of course he came through with his promise, and without compromise. Why did I doubt? And here is where the need to be doing, in order to assist in preparing the way for his ministry, overpowers his desire for me to be still and just sit at his feet and feel his presence with me. And as he always does, he came through. He has provided us with the accommodations we need, and the place had not yet been advertised anywhere. Praise him for his faithfulness. What is it about we human beings and waiting upon Yahweh? Why can't we just wait upon him, knowing, like the perfect Abba he is, he is faithful, and he will fulfill his promises to us. Why must we be focused on doing and not on being? To me, this is not only an issue focusing on ministry, but permeates every aspect of our lives. In the home, for example, how many activities distract us from nurturing relationships with him and with each other? We recite the Shema and the Vehavta every Shabbat morning. I ask you to pay attention to the words Moshe spoke to us, as found in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. These words which I am ordering you today are to be on your heart, and you are to teach them carefully to your children. You are to talk about them when you sit at home. Are we taking the time each day, as couples and as parents, to sit together and share how he has impacted our lives? Do we on a daily basis, as we are commanded to, discuss how we have kept Torah and what we have done that has violated Torah, not for condemnation, but for recognition of what we have done that is both right and well done, and to provide encouragement to each other to do better tomorrow? I know Chantal and I don't as often as we ought to. Oh yes, we do share how he works in our lives since he does that daily with tangible results. However, we don't dive into Torah and its guiding applications for us today. It was and is Yahweh's intention the home be a sanctuary for spiritual bonding and personal development in a loving, encouraging environment. How often in our work settings do we look to Yahweh rather than ourselves or our colleagues for security and significance? How often do we look to our workplaces as the source of wealth to be able to obtain more of the provisions the world has for us? If we don't have enough time to develop quality relationships with our families, then we are working too long and too hard. Rav Shaul's words to us, found in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, are particularly cogent. I exhort you, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer yourselves as a sacrifice, living and set apart for God. This will please Him. It is the logical temple worship for you. In other words, do not let yourselves be conformed to the standards of Olam Hazeh, the present world. Instead, keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you will know what God wants and will agree that what He wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. Sometimes the desire to do, as constantly bombarding us from the Olam Hazeh, the world of flesh, the world of consumption, is overwhelming. But we must resist these urges. We must resist the desire to accumulate more, be it material, validation, or acceptance, and let Yahweh do what He knows is best for us. Most, if not all of us here today, and listening over the internet, enjoy vacations which take us away to some exotic place, or to become involved in so much travel and sightseeing, we return exhausted, looking for another vacation so that we can become restabilized. This is not the rest, Shabbat in Hebrew, we look for when we wish to renew ourselves. Psalm 62, verses 1, 2, and 5 has a powerful message for us. My soul waits in silence for God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and salvation, my stronghold. I won't be greatly moved. My soul, wait in silence for God alone, because my hope comes from Him. This is the rest He wants for us. Yes, it's nice to travel and see the sights, but we know how difficult road trips can be. Would it be wasting our time if we just went into the woods or some isolated campground and spent the time in communion with His Word and with Him in silent prayer? How do we draw ourselves away from Yahweh in our daily lives? Often quite unintentionally. When we engage in overactivity, filling each and every minute of our lives doing something, just for the sake of doing, we push ourselves away from Him. Oh yes, indeed, we can find all sorts of rationalizations why we need to be that busy. But really, do we? What are we running away from when we overactivate our lives? Because we are certainly not running towards Him. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10, speaks directly to our running away from Yahweh. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I lie down in Sheol, you are there. If I fly away with the wings of the dawn and land beyond the sea, even there your hand will lead me, your right hand would hold me fast. The truth is, beloved, no matter how fast or how far we run away from Him, He never runs away from us. Quite the contrary. As Rav Shaul points out to his brothers and sisters in Rome, as we read in Romans 8, verse 35, who will separate us from the love of the Messiah? Trouble? Hardship? Persecution? Hunger? Poverty? Danger? War? Beloved, we in Adonai Yeshua, followers of Yahweh and His commandments in Torah, are held closely to Him. He is faithful and He is trustworthy. There is no need to prove ourselves to anyone. There is no need for us to gain acceptance from anyone. We do not need to prove ourselves worthy before Yahweh. He made us, He saved us, and He loves us in spite of ourselves. Why do we not fully trust Him and let go of the false security afforded us by the adversary that we are in control? Abba Shebashamayim, Heavenly Father, we so desperately need Your strength and Your resilience as we struggle against our innate desires to control whatever is around us. We so desperately need Your love, which convinces us of Your faithfulness in our lives. We so desperately need Your grace to allow us to let go of the need for control, external security, and acceptance. Your control is what we need. Your secure love is what we desire, and Your acceptance is what we have, through the love of Adonai Yeshua, in whose beloved name we pray.
Yeshua, my life You are. Yeshua, my shining star. You've ravished my heart, O Ancient of Days. I'll follow after You, both now and always. Yeshua, Yeshua, Ata Elohai, Natata Lichaye HaOlamim, Lalechet Bedrachecha Leorech Yamim. Yeshua, my life You are. Yeshua, my shining star. You've ravished my heart, O Ancient of Days. I'll follow after You, both now and always. All-consuming fire, You're my heart's desire, and I love You dearly, dearly, Lord. You're my meditation and my consolation, and I love You dearly, dearly, Lord. Reigning on Your glory.
Oh.